Today, as we start a time of worship, I want to share with you from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what Paul has to say to the Roman church. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The only thing that we do have that we can give to God is ourselves. And Paul encourages the Roman church to give fully of themselves and to learn from God instead of following the ways of the world, allowing God's Holy Spirit to transform our minds and our hearts that we might understand God's will. My prayer for you is that today, yes, you can do that. That you can make a commitment to give your full self to God and thus prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come to you today and we offer up to you our praise, our love of you, and our thanks to you. And we realize that as we notice your character, who you are, how great and awesome and wonderful and faithful you are, that we do not match up and that we are not always the people that you want us to be. So we come to you today to repent and to offer ourselves up to you, that we might be able to offer ourselves fully as a sacrifice to your kingdom and to spreading the very word of Jesus Christ, that others might come to know about the incredible work that Jesus did for us on the cross. It's that work on the cross that allows us to come to you with repentance and know that you will forgive us, and that you will wash us clean, and you will place the very righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us to be your people. What a blessing that is. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us. We thank you that when we repent and confess our sins, that you set them far away from us, and that now you see us as your daughters and sons. Now you see us as your saints in the midst of a holy and wonderful kingdom. Lord, you have made us heirs along with Jesus Christ for all the benefits and rights and privileges of your kingdom. May we truly be able to give of ourselves in such a way that we bring you glory and honor. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for Christ's willingness to follow through on your will and be a sacrifice for our sins. What a joy and what a wonder that is. So may we live lives worthy of what Christ has done for us. We also want to thank you that you continue to come into the midst of our lives, that moment by moment and day by day you're there to walk with us and to guide us and direct us. And you've even placed the very Holy Spirit within us, that we might be able to discern what it is you have for us, how you want us to live, how you want us to grow. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. And we want to thank you for those who shared the story of Jesus Christ with us, that we might come to understand and know that we needed to make a personal decision to come to you and to accept what Christ had done for us. Lord, thank you for those who sacrificed before us and gave themselves to your kingdom to continue the message on down through thousands of years. Thank you, God, for coming to us and nudging us to come into a relationship with you. Thank you for allowing us to walk daily with you and for you to trust us to be co-laborers with you in the midst of this world now, that others might come to receive the salvation that we have already found. Lord, we do come to you with concerns upon our hearts, and those concerns are many, and we lift them up to you and we ask that you would work in powerful ways. We come to you in the midst of the chaos and pandemic in our country and in our world. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would touch people's hearts in a way that they could learn peace and love, that they could learn an ability to sit down with one another and talk about what's happening for them, what are their past pains and hurts and wounds. And Lord, I pray that you would work in such a way by your Holy Spirit that we could find a way to walk in your kingdom all together. Guide us and direct us in what we need to say and what we need to do to bring that about. We also pray, Lord, today for those who have lost loved ones, whether it be currently, over the past year, or even the past years, because sometimes the loss of a loved one continues to hurt for many days, months, and years to come. We thank you for those that we had the opportunity to walk with, that you have called home. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of those who are missing loved ones, bring them comfort and peace, bring them your grace and mercy. And then we come to you, Lord, and we pray for those that are sick in any way, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally. We pray that your healing hand would be upon them to bring them strength and energy, that they would no longer be captive to whatever disease has a hold on them. And we pray that your healing hand would be there, whether it's by a miracle or through doctors and nurses and technicians, because you've given them your wisdom and understanding to know how to do this. We pray that healing would come. We pray that therapies would work and medications and treatments. We pray that those who have had surgery would heal from them quickly. We pray for a strengthening of those who have been held back by any kind of disease. We also come to you knowing that in the midst of our country right now, there is civil unrest and hurt and pain about past things that have happened. We want to pray that you would touch people's hearts and bring healing to them for that. We also want to pray that you would soften people's hearts that don't understand and feel like this is wrong for people to be doing what they're doing, by making us notice that there are hurts and pains. We pray, Lord, that you would heal these social hurts and pains that have gone on for a long time. And we pray that you would raise up someone that could bring all the people, all the sides, all the opinions, all the hurts, all the pains to the table. And we pray that whoever this mediator might be, that they would help people to talk about these things and find a way forward without further hurt and pain. We pray, Lord, for us as a church, that you would give us boldness and courage to be the people that you want us to be, that you would help us to know you've already given us authority. You've already empowered us. You've already extended to us your Holy Spirit to bring us boldness and courage. And now we just need to step in faith and share the word of Jesus Christ with the people around us. And you, Lord, are already touching hearts. It's not us that need to bring conviction, but it's us who need to share the story. And we pray that you would give us the ability to do that. As we sit before your scriptures today, we pray that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit to hear what we need to hear, to recognize what we need to recognize, and to make a commitment where we need to take a further step. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray all these things, Lord, because we love you and because we know that you will answer our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you today from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 28. Starting in verse 10, and I'm going to read down through verse 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me I will give you a tenth. Through the centuries, there's a valid question that is often asked, especially during trying times. And that question is, where is God? All throughout history, whether it's in the nation of Israel, or whether it's in other faithful nations that seek to follow God, there are times in their history that they ask, where is God? Many prayers have gone up in the midst of our current situation here in our country. And as those prayers have gone up, we've asked for God to bring about peace, to bring about wellness, and sometimes our prayers haven't been answered. So it's very easy for us to say, where is God? What is happening? What is going on? Why is God not answering our prayers at this time? Why is not God bringing about the very kingdom of God in our midst? Sometimes what happens is we get so focused on what's happening that we fail to notice God's presence. You see, God is present with us, and God is right there at all times, no matter what's going on or what's happening. But we get so focused on the chaos, on the trouble, on the problems, on the situations, that we don't notice that God is right there. You see, it's not God that's missing. It's sometimes our understanding of the presence of God and our perception that God is there working among us in our midst. In today's scripture, Jacob is so focused on escaping his brother Esau that he's not thinking about God's presence at all. You see, he has been a liar, a cheat, a deceiver, and he has cheated his brother out of his brother's birthright, out of his inheritance, out of the blessed place as the first child. And Jacob has realized this, and with the help of his mother, is going back to his father's homeland, that in his father's homeland he might be safe from whatever Esau desires to do to him, whether it's to punish him, whether it's to kill him. Jacob is concerned, and so is Jacob's mother, and so she sends him off and gives him that advice that he must leave in order to be safe. As Jacob runs, he comes to sunset, and he settles down for the night. And he allows his body to rest. It's then that God is able to communicate with him. God was there. God was walking with him. God was present with him. But Jacob was so focused on getting away from his brother Esau that he was not aware of the very presence of God. But it's when some of his senses are settled down, it's when his overarching concern of watching for his brother and he falls asleep, that God is able to communicate to him. I still believe that God communicates to us in dreams. I still believe that God especially comes to us at times when we're worn out and we lay down to rest, and God speaks a small, soft voice. Not all dreams and not all things that we hear come from God, but I still believe that God is able to communicate to us that way, and sometimes that's the only way that God can communicate to us, because we've settled down enough for God to be able to talk to us and for us to be able to hear. As Jacob wakes from his dream and what God has told him, he is so surprised. For you see, he was concentrating on getting away from his brother, not concentrating on God being present and God communicating to him and God bringing him a message for what needed to happen in the days ahead. Jacob is so surprised that he does three things. The very first thing that he does is he declares this place that he is at a sacred place because he has met with God. He's seen God's very messengers come and go from heaven as they ascend and descend a staircase. He has seen God, and God has spoken to him. He understands. This has not just been any dream, but it has been a dream where God has spoken to him a very specific message. So he realizes that this is a sacred place. And he secondly names this place. He names the place Bethel, which interpreted and translated means house of God. This is where God lives. And Jacob didn't expect to find God in this place. And he's so surprised when it happens that he makes it a sacred place, that he names it the house of God, and then he makes some deep commitments about what he needs to do. Listen to Jacob's commitments again in verses 20 through 22. It says, "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth.'" Jacob makes some really deep commitments. He's expecting God to take care of him. He now realizes that God's walking with him and God is present to him. And he's expecting God to take care of him, to bring him food and clothing, and to bring him safely back to his family one day. And he says, because of that, he will give his life and he will give a tenth of everything that God gives to him to the very kingdom of God for it to be established. How often do we miss God's presence? Think about that. How often do we miss God's presence in our midst for one reason or another? Maybe we're so focused on the chaos. Maybe we're so focused on the bad news that we continue to hear. Maybe we're so focused on the fears that we have because of a disease that's a pandemic. Maybe we're so focused on what might possibly happen, and we miss the very presence of God right there with us. We miss that God is there trying to lift us up and encourage us, trying to bring to us prayer or bring to us promises that God says, "I will fulfill." Promises to have us grow spiritually. Promises to be lights in the midst of this world. Promises to bless us again and again as we live God's will. Folks, I am convinced that God is always present with us. Maybe you've heard someone say that, God took a 2x4 and hit me in the forehead and finally got my attention. I'm not one of those people that believe in that. I believe that God is always there, and that God is always speaking, and that God is always trying to help us to understand what God is willing to do for us if we will walk as faithful disciples. And there's moments when, as it happened for Jacob here, it's an aha moment. It's shocking. It's surprising. But then the next thing that we need to consider is when we have an awareness of God being present, are we surprised enough to pause and to consider what our next step should be? When we have an awareness of God being present, are we surprised enough to pause and to consider what our next step should be? What happened for Jacob? Jacob heard the very promises of God. Jacob heard what God was willing to do for him. Jacob understood that and knew that God was present in a very tangible way. And Jacob made some incredible promises to God. He made commitments that he was going to sacrifice part of his life, even his whole life, to be the person that God wanted him to be. Now, how incredible is this? Because Jacob is known as a deceiver and a liar and a cheat. And he realizes that God is present and God is willing to bless him if he will walk in God's ways. It surprises him so to hear this very message from God that he makes deep commitments. Folks, when we notice God's presence with us, around us, in us, are we surprised enough that the God of all the universes is present in our life that we are willing to consider what steps we need to take to be who God's asking us to be? I think we need to do the same thing that Jacob did. We need to consider it as a sacred moment when this happens, because that's what it is. It's a sacred and holy moment that God has broken into our lives in such a way that we recognize and understand that God is there, that God is promising, that God is lifting us up. It's a sacred moment. And we need to recognize it as that, no matter where we are. When it happened for Jacob, he's out in the middle of nowhere, lying on the ground sleeping, using a stone as a pillow. And when he wakes up, he says, this was a sacred moment. And he names that place. Are we willing to name the places where sacred moments happen for us? Whether it happens to be out on the ball field, hiking in the midst of the woods, at a store shopping, sitting in church, or driving somewhere. Are we willing to recognize those sacred moments and name those places where we became even more aware of what God was trying to tell us? Are we willing to say, I have truly been in the house of God this moment, at this place, at this time? And then are we willing to make deep commitments, as Jacob did? Are we willing to decide that if God is going to be present to me, and God is going to empower me, and God is going to bless me, am I willing to make commitments to God about how I will live because of what God is willing to do for me? You see, God told Jacob, I will bless you. You will be numerous. You will return to this land. And Jacob says, okay, I make my commitment to you too, God. I will walk your ways. And if you will keep me safe and give me food and clothing and bring me back safely, I will be your person. And I will walk in your ways. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to recognize the sacred moments when they happen? Are we willing to recognize that God is right there and name that place for what God has told us? And are we willing to make deep commitments to say that we're going to follow God because of the promise that God made to us? What did Paul say to the Roman church? He said the right thing for you to do is to sacrifice your whole self, to live for God's kingdom, to not be influenced by the chaos and the disease and the fear and the worries and the anxieties in the midst of this world, but pay attention as you give your life to God, because it's then that you'll understand God's will. It's then that you will show it perfect and true and right. Are you willing to look for God in your presence? Make that a sacred place. Name that place for what happened and make a deep commitment. So I'm going to ask you to think about this. How will you honor God's presence by looking for God's message to you this week? How will you honor God's presence? God's already present to you. You may not realize it, and you may not hear what God's saying to you at the moment, but God is right there. So are you willing to look for God's message this week? Let us pray. Lord, what a blessing it is that you are a God who loves us so deeply, that you are present with us. Even in the midst of all that's going on, not just in this country, not just in the world, but in the universe in total, you're present with us at every moment. May we recognize your presence. May we realize that these are sacred moments. May we be willing to name the place where it happens and state fully what you have communicated to us. And may we make deep commitments to step further on the spiritual journey as your disciple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a closing, I want to share words with you from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 8 and 9. This is from Moses' last sermon before the people enter the promised land. Listen to what he tells them. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you undertake. God will bless you in the land that the Lord God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as God's holy people, as God has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. God's promises, God's blessings upon us, God's abundance upon us depends upon us sacrificing our life and making a commitment to follow God's will. May this week be a week where you notice God's presence, where you understand the incredible love that Jesus Christ showed on the cross, and where you will feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit to make deeper commitments to live the life that God's asking you to live. May God's blessing be upon you this week.